Welcome on in to Upwards here on WBCB. Once a week, we get together and take a look at health and wellness topics, focus in on charitable organizations, 501c3s, helping our friends and neighbors. And we also give you some health tips and advice, and we're going to begin with that today. Our St. Mary Medical Minute comes your way once a month, where we're joined by some of the medical professionals from St. Mary Medical Center, and we take on a variety of different topics. Delighted to have Dr. Scott with us today. Dr. Scott, welcome to the show. Well, hold on a second. Oh, boy. Dr. Scott, are you with us?
I sure am.
Oh, boy, I better press the right buttons and get things straightened out over here. Dr. Scott, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in complex hip and knee reconstruction. And after his training, Dr. Scott went on to lead the joint replacement program at Bassett Medical Center in Cooperstown, New York, the home of the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is pretty cool. And we thank Dr. Scott for a little bit of his time here today on Upwards. Dr. Scott, what are some of the most common sports injuries that you're going to see? All the athletes coming back for the fall, playing football, soccer, and I would imagine you see a little bit of an influx when it comes to sport-related injuries once we get back to the high school sports season.
Right. So sprains and strains, most commonly you'll see a run of hamstrings. And a lot of things occur when, you know, folks are or kids and even adults when they're, you know, getting back into new sports seasons and getting back into new activities that maybe they haven't done for a while, starting a training program, you know, getting some usually overuse injuries, muscle sprains, things like hamstring pulls, quad strains, Achilles injuries, for the kids that are getting back into, you know, football, soccer especially, we worry about things like ACL tears. It really depends on the type of sport and type of activity. The contact sports, you'll see more contusions and occasionally fractures. The non-contact tend to be more the overuse of, you know, muscle strains and you know, small joint injuries.
Well, Dr. Scott, across different sports, is there something common that young athletes can do to prevent overuse injuries or prevent hamstring tears and that type of thing as they get back to it? Here at WBCB, we're always getting excited when we get closer to the fall for Eagles football, but also for our high school football coverage. And we're rooting for the athletes to make sure that they can get out there and participate on the field, even with different sports. What would you recommend to student athletes to prevent tears and strains?
Being involved in organized training programs before the season starts is important to really start the conditioning process. You know, sometimes it can be difficult to maintain a training regimen during the summer months or during the time in between when the season ends and when the new season begins. And so having a conditioning program that initially starts with cardiovascular conditioning, so running, cycling, things to really build up stamina and endurance. A good stretching program is important, you know, before and after activities and practices to help ensure that things are supple, that that the athletes maintain good flexibility. And a lot of those times when hamstrings are tight, when quads are tight, that just increases the likelihood that something's going to get tweaked during the course of their training.
What warning signs should parents be looking for? Great advice for parents and student athletes here. We've got Dr. James Scott with us here on Upwards, our St. Mary Medical Minute. And, what are some things that parents might be looking for that would indicate, yeah, this is a little bit more serious of an injury I'm guessing it's probably a lot of common sense stuff. You see that the athlete's not performing the same as they typically do, for one thing.
Absolutely. And so, you know, being aware of, you know, some of the red flags, you know, listening to, you know, what the athlete is saying to their coach and how they're performing on the field. Not all athletes will want to voluntarily, you know, remove themselves from sport or practice.
Yeah, but they want to be out there.
I would say, absolutely. So in cases where an athlete pulls himself from competition, I think that's probably one of the big red flags that there's something that's really bothering them.
Right.
A lot of athletes will try to participate as much as possible, and will try to persevere through most sorts of injuries or setbacks. But things where the athlete's taking themselves out of competition voluntarily, that's something that shouldn't be ignored or overlooked. What I try to tell my patients is that if it hurts while you're doing it, that's your body's indication that you should probably stop.
Yeah, don't
it's normal
it.
for, absolutely, it's normal for things to be sore after exercise, after periods of physical activity. It's not normal for things to be hurting while you're doing something, especially if it's impacting the quality of play. And so, you know, if you can't run, or if you can't keep up with the pace of the game as you're typically able to, because, you know, your legs are hurting, your ankle's hurting, those are signs that either you need rest or something that needs to be evaluated. And certainly if there's an injury that's witnessed where the athlete is having a hard time, say it's a lower extremity injury, whether it's hip, knee, or ankle, they can't get up afterwards, can't, you know, bear weight or walk on their own, that's something that really should prompt a more urgent evaluation.
You know, in that situation, how would you differentiate between a sprain, a strain, a fracture? Do you need to, I would think in some cases, you need to get an x-ray in order to differentiate from between those possibilities.
Absolutely. And the overlap of those, so a sprain is an injury to a ligament around a joint. A strain is an injury to the muscle itself. And a fracture is just that, a broken bone. Sometimes it's obvious in the case of a fracture where there may be some deformity, a leg or an arm isn't straight, or there's a joint that was dislocated. Things like sprains, strains, and fractures that are subtle may be difficult to differentiate from one another. Certainly if there's something that is limiting the ability to bear weight, if there's any obvious deformity, if there's a large amount of swelling, first thing we do is we get an x-ray to assess, is there a broken bone there? Is a joint that's dislocated or out of alignment? And then that helps guide what the treatment is from there.
We're talking with Dr. James Scott here. You know, thinking back to your point about a preseason training program, that's kind of what the pros do anymore. They are working basically all throughout the year in order to stay ready. If it's football season, even before training camp, they're doing stuff in the summertime. I guess the same mindset, the same thinking applies to student athletes that are out there. If you keep the training going, then you don't have to reintroduce your body to those strains and such. After an athlete has a sprain or a strain, what are some advice you would give about returning to play after an injury without risking re-injury to that same area, or maybe compensating with different parts of the body, and you might re-injure another part of yourself when you get back to action?
Right, so this is where we work closely with our physical therapist to help develop a treatment plan for the individual athlete, to provide guidance as far as what our goals and expectations are. So mild sprains and strains, those are things that can typically set athletes back. 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how much pain they're having, how much swelling. More severe injuries will certainly take a longer period of time. The most important thing is that the athlete is able to participate without pain, that they're able to engage in their particular activity or sport without having pain that's limiting their ability to run, jump, make a sport-specific moves or plays, so they can be able to have to expect that they're able to engage in full participation at that time. The risk of not doing so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I say time is really one of the key parts of that equation too. Make sure you give your time, give yourself time to heal. And I guess part of that is, like you said, if you can participate and do the stuff pain free, then you probably have waited a sufficient amount of time, and you're feeling better.
Right, and sometimes we'll start to, as you progress with the therapy program, you start reintroducing higher levels, higher intensity, and you will make further progressions based on the athlete's tolerance of that and how well they're able to participate. And so as they clear different benchmarks and goals, that really will dictate when they can return to full competition.
Right, monitor stuff as they ramp up to activity. When you were in Cooperstown, I'm wondering, did you see a lot of baseball-related injuries? I mean, there's a lot of baseball up there around Cooperstown. I think they have it was like an original, is that Doubleday Field there? But there's a lot of baseball activity up there in Cooperstown. I'm wondering if you saw a lot of shoulder injuries and stuff like that when you were in that neck of the woods.
Well, yeah, so their baseball season runs from basically Memorial Day to Labor Day, and they do hundreds of tournaments during that time. Fortunately, we didn't see a great deal of injuries, but you would see the occasional twisted ankle, sore elbow, just from kids that are just playing nonstop for a week at a time. Fortunately we didn't see as much as you would think with all the with all the sports going on, but those kids have been training and playing together in preparation for those tournaments for a few months at that point. So fortunately, a lot of them are already, they're ready for that. They're ready for play, and I think that goes back to, if you're prepared, then you're more likely to be able to do what you need to do with lower risk of injury.
Gotcha. They are well-seasoned and ready to go up there, but I thought there might be some kind of connection. I am actually preparing to participate in a duathlon this Saturday where we're going to run a 5K and then do a one-mile kayak thing. So I'm one of these weekend warrior guys, and I've been trying to get myself ready to go, that pre-race training stuff, so I'm good to go on Saturday. But what advice do you have for weekend warriors, adults that are doing recreational activities, 5K runs? They're out there with like the company softball event, which is something they don't typically do.
Right. So I would say similar advice applies. You're not necessarily training for your annual softball game, but engaging in a regular exercise program, 3 to 4 days per week of cardiovascular exercise, regular stretching. As you get older, things get stiff. You're not as flexible as you used to be. And, as much as you want to have fun playing in that softball game, you don't want to tear your Achilles as you're going around third. And now you're out for the rest of the summer.
Yeesh.
And so doing things to try and stay flexible, stretching on a regular basis, going for light jogs, riding an exercise bicycle or cycling outdoors, using rowing type machines, ergs are excellent ways of getting a full body workout. And then some classes like yoga or Pilates are really good ways to help stay in shape, particularly when other responsibilities or full-time jobs, family life, other things kind of compete with your time to devote to yourself. But if you can give yourself 30 to 45 minutes, 3 or 4 days per week, that'll go a long way to ensuring you can do the things that you want to do.
Dr. James Scott with us. Later in the hour, Dr. Scott, we're going to be joined by Maureen Solomon, who's our fitness expert, and we throw all different fitness-related topics. She's going to hopefully be able to get me race ready for Saturday, but always talks about kind of what you're talking about, functional fitness, that you have to do a little exercise just to be capable of the bending and stretching and moving that we do on an everyday basis, and that also seems like a key to keeping your joints and your orthopedic stuff well lubricated and moving in the right way.
Absolutely, yeah. And staying in motion is really the biggest thing, and it doesn't have to be anything special or anything in particular. Find something that you enjoy or tolerate at least, and making the effort when you can really pay dividends down the road.
Well, parents with student athletes or any adults, weekend warriors, fitness enthusiasts who are listening to our discussion, want to learn more about Dr. Scott, what we're talking about, you can go on to TrinityHealthMA.org, a great resource there. Again, Dr. James Scott, our guest, and TrinityHealthMA.org, a great resource to find out more about the orthopedic program at St. Mary's, specifically about Dr. Scott. And I would guess maybe there's some guidelines and some tips there that, again, people can check out to stay safe but stay active.
Yeah, we have certainly resources online available, and we're always happy to talk or do what we can to meet the needs of the community to keep people active and fit and doing things that they want to do.
Yeah, hey, we appreciate your talking with us and joining us here on WBCB. Have you been cooking anything interesting? I think last time we got together, I might have asked you about your amateur chef recipes, and I recently cooked up a little tomato soup, which was great. Had some of those fresh tomatoes, and this is the perfect time of year to maybe make up a little tomato soup, a little gravy for the spaghetti. But I went gourmet tomato soup the other day.
Well, you definitely take advantage of the fresh produce when you can.
Yes.
Did a little. I'm not Italian by any stretch, but. Made the family some corn risotto with some grilled shrimp. Great for a hot summer day.
Wow, that sounds great. That really does. Well, thanks, Dr. Scott. We'll check in with you next time here on WBCB.
Happy to. Thanks for having me.
All right. Delighted to have Dr. James Scott checking in with our St. Mary Medical Minute here on Upwards. All right. I reached out to Mike Bannon, and I'm hoping he's going to check in with us here in a little bit. Also, we'll be joined by Maureen Solomon later in the hour, and Maureen is going to give me some specific tips and some advice for anybody out there who's getting involved in a weekend activity that maybe is a little extra activity, a little extra exercise than you typically do. So how do you get yourself ready and G to G, got to be good to go on Saturday. All right, we're going to step aside and return for more Upwards on WBCB.
With over 7,200 square feet of 200 brewers in stock at all times, Pat the Yum Beverages now features 5 different flavors of their favorite slushy cocktails. You can also purchase all your wine, liquor, and other fine spirits right next door. Visit us on Facebook or online at pattheyumbeverages.com for upcoming events and samples from your favorite brewery or local food vendor.
In your journey back to work, we understand the barriers you may face. We have a solution to bridge that gap. No matter your background, PA CareerLink staff are here to provide personalized assistance and help you thrive. Take the first step towards a new chapter in your career journey with PA Career Link. Visit pacareerlink.pa.gov or your local PA Career Link office today. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Hi, this is Mayor Jeff Martin of Hamilton Township, inviting you to tune in to our monthly radio show, This Month in Hamilton. Video stream live the fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. at WBCB1490.com. We will be featuring various guests from Hamilton Township to keep you up to date on what's going on in Hamilton.
Yeah, this Saturday going to be involved in the first ever Promised Land State Park Duathlon to benefit Promised Land State Park, which is a place that my family, we've been going up to the Pocono Mountains for years and years and years and really love this particular camping spot. And it happens that this is our family camping trip up there. And we got all different generations and different nuclear families going up there. We get different campsites and stuff. And my sister saw that there's this race event, and she's an Ironman. She's a triathlete. She and her husband have both completed Ironman races. So that's pretty awesome. And they're not intimidated at all by a 5K distance, or it's the 5K run followed by a kayak or a stand-up paddleboard thing where you go a mile and you go about half a mile and you come back. So it's a mile loop that follows this 5K. I think it's going to be kind of fun, but to get ready, I've been out trying to do a little bit of running, and I have been having my struggles. So I'm not sure that element is going to be like easy peasy. I don't expect that at all, but I should be able to finish the thing and maybe have a respectable showing up there. But really looking forward to it. And Maureen Solomon, who's going to join us in a little bit, always with great fitness tips and advice, keeps us motivated, right? You got to stay moving, stay active. So any little additional help, we love to pass on and maybe provide a little more motivation to do that thing, whatever it happens to be. And yeah, I want to ask Maureen about what types of what kind of thinking goes into being ready for the day of. I've done a couple of things, and now I think I'm just going to rest in preparation for the big day. Anyway, here at Upwards, we focus on charitable organizations and groups that are helping our friends and neighbors. A couple of weeks ago, we went to Commonwealth National Golf Course, and we were there to support the BCWSA golf outing. A lot of funds getting raised. I think they were saying that this year, with the fundraising added to all the other fundraising stuff they've done over the 22 years that they've had a BCWSA fundraising thing, they're like getting close to the $800,000 mark as far as total money raised. So supporting worthy causes and people out there to play a little golf to benefit the communities and neighborhoods and stuff like that. So we're out there, and we were joined by the Bucks County Opportunity Council. Thanks to Erica and to Joe for checking in, and they give us a lot of info about the five different programs that they spearhead and embark on throughout the year. And I was mentioning to them that one of our former guests, a United Way, former United Way connection, is now with the BCOC and joined us in tax time of the year. It's like maybe it was in March or something, because they also have free tax prep for people in the area. They can go and work with an IRS certified person to prepare their taxes and save a little bit of money, bring that return back to the community. And so I heard from Danielle, and I think we're going to be doing some regular stuff with the BCOC, because they do help out with a number of different things, housing, the Opportunity Council, or the I think the surrounding notion around the Opportunity Council is to give people a little bit of help up and provide them with some services, whether it's housing, food, any of those things that can make a difference. And the end result is that the clients and people that they work with are able to get on their own feet and be self-sustaining, contributing members of the community. And they've helped many, many people do that. They kind of highlighted some of those success stories with us when we were checking in with them last week here on Upwards. But I'm looking forward to kind of a regular thing with the Bucks County Opportunity Council to hear about all the different things that they're doing. I think right now, like many organizations, they're thinking about the kids going back to school. And whether it's your student athletes going back to the football field, as we heard from Dr. James Scott, or your scholar getting back into the classroom, they need those school supplies. And so many organizations right now have Stuff the Bus and other drives going on. BCOC is also kind of pulling in that same direction to make sure that every kid in our community, in the neighborhoods and in the schools that are here in Bucks County, and I you know, that's really where they're focused in. But I know our hope is that kids all throughout our listening area are set to go and equipped with all that they need. You can help out. All right, find out. You can reach out to BCOC. I think it was bcoc.org. Pretty straightforward website to find. United Way, they're doing the Stuff the Bus. So a lot of ways to donate and make a difference for kids in our area. All right, we are going to step aside here for just a moment and return in just a bit with more Upwards on WBCB.
Do you feel the need for speed and are a car racing fan? Then tune in every Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. for the Need for Speed Auto Show, hosted by me, America's mechanic, Fred Fletcher. Everything you want to know about our local tracks and races to the NASCAR scene, as well as our area car shows and cruise nights. Brought to you by Fletcher's Garage in Fairless Hills and heard every Thursday morning at 9:30 on WBCB 1490 AM, 107.3 FM, and throughout the world at WBCB1490.com.
You won't see termites crawling across your floor, but thousands might be devouring the wood in your walls, weakening the structure of your home. For over 50 years, Termite Proofing and Pest Control of the Delaware Valley has been in the exterminating business. If you think you have a pest problem, they're the experts. Call them today at 215-639-5455. That's 215-639-5455 for TPPC. Termite Proofing and Pest Control of the Delaware Valley gives your home or business peace of mind, knowing your pest problem is in their hands. Located at 1560 Bristol Pike in Bensalem, they use only EPA-approved material applied by licensed technicians. Call Termite Proofing and Pest Control of the Delaware Valley at 215-639-5455.
I'm Henry Carpenter, certified elder law attorney and host of Senior Legal Strategies right here on WBCB every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. On a recent Senior Legal Strategies, we discussed how elder law has grown over the years. We now bring so many services and supports to our clients, whether planning for care, protecting assets for family, or assisting in a long-term care placement. We have the knowledge and expertise to guide you to the best possible result. I invite you to call us today at 215-493-0727 to schedule a no-cost consultation. And visit us on the web at BucksCountyElderLaw.com.
Head out to Dion Square, located at South Oxford Valley and South Olds Boulevard, to get all your essentials in one place, with the following businesses ready to serve you. Pat Dion Beverages, CVS Pharmacy, Hair Cuttery, Smile Culture Dental, Biomat, Liberty Auto Tags, Pennsylvania Fine Wine and Spirits, Lee's Hoagie House, R&J Smoothies and Juices, AutoZone, and First National Bank and Trust of Newtown. Make Dion Square your one stop for all your shopping needs at South Oxford Valley Road and South Olds Boulevard in Fairless Hills.
All right. Earlier today, we had Need for Speed on BCB. Fred Fletcher chatting a little bit about keeping your car running smoothly and all the motorsports stuff going on in the area, but also talking about a situation that I saw he posted something on Facebook So if you are, I don't want to blow up his spot, but if you're looking for Fred Fletcher, you can find him on Facebook. And today on the radio, also on social media, talked about a situation where somebody came into his shop after going to a dealership and kind of getting intimidated with all of these unnecessary repairs, repairs that added up to thousands of dollars that the client didn't even need. The customer did not need all the stuff that was on the list at the dealership that, again, added up to a ton of money. And she went to Fred's, and he said, look, what you really need are X, Y, and Z, and we'll take care of you. So I wanted to talk to Mike Bannon today, who's our consumer protection guy, about auto repair places and the rights that consumers have to, I guess, pull their vehicle in certain situations. I don't know. So I think we'll table this till next week because it's a great topic of conversation. I know Mike's going to have a lot on it because I'm guessing this is one of the things that his office gets somewhat consistent or regular complaints about, because I've had it happen to me. Other people have had it happen to them. And I don't know whether it's just a dealership or any type of auto repair place, you go there and you get an estimate, and I don't know what to make of the, you know, how necessary these repairs are. So there's a certain trust factor that you got to have there, and but then there's also some legalities, and that's where Mike Bannon comes in. He's the director of consumer protection for Bucks County, and if you check out their website, they have a lot of information, guidelines for this exact situation where you go into a car repair shop. What can you do? I don't know, what types of power does the consumer have to say? And I think basically it's just you need to have the voice and the confidence to say, look, I want a second opinion. I'm not exactly sure if this really lines up with my budget right now. Like, we're not going to be able to do all these repairs, so give me my car back, and I'll catch you next time. So anyway, Mike Bannon, a regular contributor here on Upwards. I don't know what happened. I had emailed him. We had everything lined up. So we'll have to, again, table this till next week and give you some a little bit of ammo, a little bit of maybe a little bit of confidence for the next time you go in to get your car repaired and taken care of. All right, we're going to step aside, return with Maureen in just a bit on WBCB.
Listen to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Chief of Police Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors, and heard on the third Tuesday of every month at 1 p.m. right here on WBCB 1490 AM and 107.3 FM.
We gathered real Pennsylvania seniors and asked them how they would benefit from an extra $1,000. Here's what they had to say.
Everything is so expensive these days.
Car expenses, repairs.
My groceries, heating costs. My
medications. I'm sure I could easily spend $1,000 like that.
Through Pennsylvania's property tax rent rebate program, eligible seniors and adults with disabilities could receive up to $1,000. Check your eligibility and apply online.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Hi, this is Mayor Jeff Martin of Hamilton Township, inviting you to tune in to our monthly radio show, This Month in Hamilton. Video stream live the fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. at WBCB1490.com. We will be featuring various guests from Hamilton Township to keep you up to date on what's going on in Hamilton.
I'm Henry Carpenter, certified elder law attorney and host of Senior Legal Strategies right here on WBCB every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. On a recent Senior Legal Strategies, we discussed how elder law has grown over the years. We now bring so many services and supports to our clients, whether planning for care, protecting assets for family, or assisting in a long-term care placement. We have the knowledge and expertise to guide you to the best possible result. I invite you to call us today at 215-493-0727 to schedule a no-cost consultation. And visit us on the web at BucksCountyElderLaw.com.
All right, we are back. And we've got him now. Mike Bannon with us. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Happy Thursday to you and the listeners. Sorry, my phone battery died on me, so I had to get another charge in to call you up.
Well, better late than never, but I think we might have to table this discussion for another time because I think there's a lot here to get into when it comes to auto repairs and the rights of consumers.
And there is.
I was just saying that there's a part where the consumers just have to have the confidence to have the voice to say, look, I don't necessarily want to have this repair done. But I mean, I'm wondering if auto repair shops have any guidelines that they have to follow or if they can make whatever recommendations that they just see fit.
Well, that's a good question. And there's a lot to that to be able to do. And you're right. There's a lot to unpack there to be able to do. I always, always ask them to tell me the price of any work they're going to do up front is something that I do. And I also ask for my parts back, even though I don't know what the parts are when they come back to me. They know I'm paying attention to it. So it's really tricky. But you can find, everybody needs to find a good mechanic that they can go to and trust. That's really the key, is to do some homework and find a mechanic that will regularly maintain your car that you can trust.
You know, I was also thinking that there's probably quite a bit of information on the Bucks County website about this very topic, other consumer protection topics. Let everybody know how they can access some of those resources which you guys have put together.
Well, thank you, Chris. We do have a guide in there about finding your right automobile mechanic. That's under the auto section. But if folks go to our webpage at buckscounty.gov, and then /CP for consumer protection,
Yep. We'll
jump you right to our page. And then in the left-hand side, there's a place that says consumer tips. And we have tons of subjects in there, and one for today's subject of hiring an auto mechanic, how to find a good one.
That's great. Anything to the notion that dealerships are a little bit more aggressive than an average auto shop, or is that you see some good actors and bad actors in both of those realms?
Well, you're right. I see some good actors and bad actors in both those worlds there. Certainly when you go to a dealership, you're usually paying a premium price, getting manufactured product, you know, from whoever the dealer is that's there. But it can be very heavy sale pressures that go on, and I don't like that. When they come out and they tell you all the things that are wrong with your car and that you need to fix it. You do need to shop around. There are some good dealers out there, do good, honest repair work out there. No, you're paying a little bit more for the premium service when you go to the dealer. I personally have a mechanic I go to for all my cars for many years. He's a small guy with the shop that I did my homework on, and I trust. And mm-hmm. So we have a good relationship going. Sometimes they charge a little bit more, sometimes they charge less, but I trust them, and that's the key thing.
Well, Mike, thanks for checking in with us. Maybe we'll talk more about auto repairs and the consumer protection world that's around that thing. So we'll talk to you next time.
Sounds great. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Always great to hear from Mike Bannon, the Director of Consumer Protection for Bucks County. But we've got Maureen Solomon waiting to go, so we want to talk a little fitness here and get me ready for the big day on Saturday. Hey, Maureen, how you doing? Here you go. Oh, my gosh. I'm having quite a day.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Maybe I'm out of practice here, pressing the right button and stuff, but we got you now. It has been a while. Always great to have you with us and taking on all different fitness-related topics. So what do you think about the weekend warrior who's getting ready for a 5K or this type of charity activity? You know, I think it's a pretty common thing. How do you get ready for peak performance when... I don't know, you're not really a peak performer.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, physical therapy centers are you know, chock full of weekend warriors who had the best of intentions and who showed up to do a race with zero preparation. So
yikes.
You definitely want to make sure you're getting your body ready for the demand. So that's one way to avoid injury. But really the best way, I mean, you just want to participate in most cases and you know, feel good about the showing that you're doing, but you definitely want to avoid injury by doing some prep work and actually training in the whatever faculty it is that you're going to be doing or whatever specific arena you're going to be doing. You got to prep your body for that work.
All right, so I've gotten a little bit of prep work in. I've been out a few days running a little bit and struggling to get back into form and feel like I'm going to be looking good out there, but I'm getting myself set to go. How about with hydration and sleep, or like the night before an event, the 24 hours prior to? Is there any kind of secret formula that is going to help to, I don't know, get me running 2% faster or three, you know, just a little bit better?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been competing in these types of events at pretty high levels for probably 25 years, and I have never had a great night's sleep before an event. I wish I knew the secret, but there's always, like, those pre-race jitters or, you know, did I forget to pack something in my kit or, you know, when you're doing adventure racing. So there's always, I have historically never been a great sleeper before the event, but you do get by with a wing and a prayer and some adrenaline. But it always helps to take, and it helps your muscles too with fatigue, to take 300 to 400 milligrams of magnesium before you go to sleep, probably around 8:30, 9 o'clock, so you get a decent amount of sleep, and it helps with some neurological and muscle healing properties and helping them to stay productive during those demands. So that's helpful. You know, getting yourself on a schedule. Some people are, you know, they're just knocked out and lights out at 10 o'clock. I am not that person. I wish I had a better sleep schedule, but that is never going to be something I brag about.
That's going to be a challenge for me. I'm sure of that. Hopefully I'll be able to just, I will be up there in the mountains, so maybe the mountain air will be able to kind of put me to sleep and get me ready for the performance. During a race, how much difference does it make if you have like those fuels or even water stations? I'm kind of the exerciser that says I'll hydrate before and hydrate after, but I rarely think about hydration when I'm participating in whatever I'm doing. But you see people, the triathletes, they're trying to hit those water stations every single time. It must make a difference when it comes to their performance and their results.
Yeah. I mean, races are won. I've said this before. Races are won and lost on nutrition and replenishment. I've seen incredibly high-level athletes that, you know, like the pros that go out before, like, the steerage crew shows up, which is my group. But the pros that go out, I've seen high-level pros that just failed in nutrition, and they're cramping so badly they can barely do the run, or their transitions are really, really slow because they didn't prep very well on the actual run or ride. Like, you should have some of this stuff on your person so that you can replenish during the event. Water's not going to be enough when you're putting your body through a lot of demands. You definitely need electrolytic replacement. You do need some, you know, the game of on the spot replenishment for racing days has improved so much. There's so many great products out there now that don't cause stomach discomfort or don't cause you to, you know, have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes or whatever it is. But there are so many products that help you to be a better racer and participant. So there's no reason to skip that step. It makes a world of difference. And if you've ever had, if you've ever come out of transition in a triathlon where you're coming out of the water or you're getting off the bike to start the run and your legs are cramped so bad, it's a terrible feeling. And it's one of those, oh, no, because you know that you really dropped the ball. And it probably, I mean, maybe not completely, but probably could have been managed a lot better. So don't skip that step of hydration. It depends on how long you're racing. Like if you're doing a 5K, you can hydrate before and after and probably be fine unless it's a really hot day. But if it's a longer event with multiple principles, like if you're doing paddling and swimming and kayaking and cycling, you want to be prepped to nourish your body throughout the entire event.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a 5K and then a 1 mile kayak loop. So it doesn't seem like too intense, but it's definitely going to, I think, going to stress me. I haven't been running that much. I haven't been doing that type of thing. So I'm trying to get ready to go, and I'm just hoping for a good showing. How about post-race? Like, afterwards, I think they're going to have some food and everything. So for the weekend warrior and for somebody who doesn't participate in a duathlon, you could maybe have some soreness afterwards or whatever, but some of that also can be helped out with some post-race nutrition. What do you recommend to do after you've completed the course and you're patting yourself on the back and feeling good about your efforts?
Yeah, definitely. Well, a lot of those races have like food stations set up afterwards. It's not always the best for post-race food. You definitely want to do electrolytic replacement, so something with some high-quality salt in it, or, you know, like even the sports drinks, I never, ever drink those full tilt. I always cut them because they're high in sugar
right.
And it's unnecessary. But really great purified water with high-quality. I use kosher salt in my water in the morning because I tend to run a little bit low in the sodium range.
Huh.
That's a great replacement. You know, something salty that's not going to be, like, really overboard with the salt or the sugar, because when you tax your body like that, you got to be kind to letting it get back to, you know, its balance. And, you know, after races, I've done adventure races for years and triathlons for years. They always have, like, the, you know, the VIP tents that have, like, beer and cheese and grapes and that kind of stuff, which is really fun going down, but it's not necessarily the best thing to replace.
Hmm.
So think about things that are pretty clean, you know, single-ingredient foods like watermelon, cucumbers, honeydew, melons, citrus, electrolytic replacement drinks that are cut a little bit, and some salt for that replacement, that electrolytic, that's the sodium replacement, because we sweat a lot. Some people sweat tremendously and will need more. But definitely lean towards cleaner, more simple foods that don't have tons of ingredients that'll kind of sit heavily and upset your stomach.
They always have bananas.
They're great. They're loaded with potassium. Those are great. They don't always agree with everyone. People tend to think that bananas can repeat on them. But bananas, it's like the greatest, like, you know, snack with its own container that you don't have to worry about. You know, that's a great snack for a race or a road trip or something, because it comes in its already prepped container. You don't have to get your dirty hands on it, even though I see people breaking off pieces, which drives me crazy. Just bite it instead of breaking off pieces, because then your hands are on it. But, so there's lots of ways that you can take care of your body in these outdoor endeavors. And it's a great time of year for this. We're going to have a really hot week next week, but getting into late August is a great time to do outside events because the weather tends to break.
Hey, kind of a separate topic, but related. I don't know if you've seen some of the recent news that's been out about processed foods and unprocessed foods. I think a big study was just done about weight loss, and I don't think it's any new revelations or any surprising information, but just another reminder or confirmation that the stuff that is processed, like the granola bars and everything, just there's a lot more salty, sugary stuff in there than maybe people are giving it credit for. And I'm trying to get myself over to like a diet that focuses more on, you know, there's a part of me, I don't even know what processed foods are or what processed foods aren't. I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian or anything, but I'm trying to eat more of the fresh fruits and all the stuff that you're kind of recommending after the race, because I feel like as more studies are done, it's alarming and pretty clear that the food industry is not necessarily there to make us the most healthy we could be. They're there to make themselves as rich as they could be, and those two things don't really line up that much.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, there's no question that the food, like, even, and this is where the wellness, the true wellness people like me that don't profit from selling snake oil and pseudoscience, there's no question, if you simplify everything in your life, you will be more well. And I mean that from top to bottom. If you sleep on sheets that are not made of some crappy fake fiber, if you get outside and you walk instead of, even listening to music through AirPods and things like that, just get away from anything that's like heavy tech and heavy processed. And there's processed foods and then there's ultra processed foods, and they're both terrible for you. And don't be duped by the fact that, you know, you shopped at Trader Joe's, so it's going to be good. It's not. There's plenty of foods that fall under the guise of quasi-healthy that are not healthy. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to labels. Minimally processed foods have 2 to 3 ingredients. Processed foods have about five ingredients. Ultra-processed foods such as soda, chips, cupcakes, pastries, hot dogs, things with 5 or more ingredients that go through a process. Hmm. So think about that in the description. Well, if it has to go through a mechanism of being delivered, it's processed.
I really like that helpful, like, just look at the number of ingredients. That simplifies things for me, talking about simplification. I like that. And, even things that, again, after a race, you're expecting everything to be healthy foods, and things are, it's like a granola bar, but it's a processed granola bar. It's a health thing, but it's kind of, it's a packaged protein type of bar that is really processed. And I'm hoping that my behavior can now reflect what I'm thinking, you know, more and more the information is telling me to, you know, go away from all that processed stuff. So we got to keep it real.
Yeah.
We got to keep it real.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's really not that hard if we just took the time and the extra step to look at the number of ingredients and think about, did this go through some type of mechanism or machinery to land in this package? And like I said, a lot of the ready-made meals, I buy plenty of those at Trader Joe's because I work a lot and I get home late. But if you're looking at the ingredients and you really want to be honest with yourself, a lot of those hyped, healthy or wellness meals are just not so great. So you want to make sure that's not a daily occurrence, that you're making some food out of real single ingredient food.
I mean, somehow it always seems like it is a challenge for me, whether it's like my habits, my behavior, or whatever, just the things that are convenient versus the things that take a little bit more time. But, it's a process. We're working through it. Talk about, I'm an ultra processed person. Talk about processed foods, and I'm working through this process now to, I don't know, every day's a process.
Oh man, it is. I'm sure that I'm a lot for a lot of people, but you know, I'm not going to apologize. At age
60, awesome.
I am what I am. So,
well, really, we really appreciate all of the motivation and inspiration that you pass along to us here at WBCB. And we got to say goodbye for now. Hopefully we'll catch up next time. It feels like it's been a while, so it was great
it
to
has been, yeah.
Do that thing again and get together for Upwards, and maybe we'll catch you next Thursday.
All right, Chris, it's always great chatting with you. And remember, everyone, that movement is your medicine, so get some every day.
All right, got to get out there and get moving. Stay active. Today, I'm taking a rest day in order to... Actually, I was out this morning. I shouldn't say that. I did a little road work out there this morning, trying to get ready for Saturday's thing that we're doing. Hey, big thanks to Mike Bannon, that their consumer protection guy. Call came in a little bit late, but always great stuff. And I think we will check back with him about auto repairs, some guidelines, some like hypothetical scenarios that he can help to walk us through to make sure that we are getting the best service, but also not getting not doing repairs that are unnecessary and costly. Thanks to Maureen Solomon, and also to Dr. James Scott from St. Mary Medical Center, who was with us earlier for our St. Mary Medical Minute. All right, stay tuned. We got the afternoon show with Stephen Lawler coming up, and Steve will take you to 4 o'clock. We got the best of Blavitt at that time. Phillies baseball later tonight. No, the Phillies are off. So afternoon show coming up in just a bit.
You're listening to 1490 WBCB and on your FM dial at 107.